Please take your Bibles this morning and go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Today is Sunday, June the 15th, 2025. It's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day again to all you fathers. 1 Timothy 2 is where we're going to begin this morning. In so many vital areas of our lives, when we know the truth, when we know what God said, then we can believe what God said and get results in lots of areas like salvation, prayer, the gift of Holy Spirit, a lot of spiritual realities, but also things that are, you know, part of our regular lives like finances or marriage, a lot of vital areas, including healing. What did God say? And what I'd like to share today will be kind of a foundation for next week. And next Sunday, we're going to look at God's Word to see what God shows us regarding receiving healing from God. So what I wanted to do this morning is just a kind of a brief foundation. And so I've kind of titled this morning's, Why Are We So Concerned About Understanding the Bible? Why are we so concerned about accurately understanding the Scriptures, especially in such vital areas that there are? And so I don't think any of these verses will be brand new, but we begin in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. Who will have, talking about God, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? So there's the answer. God desires everyone to get saved and to come unto a knowledge of the truth. How can you know the truth? Well, by rightly understanding the Scriptures, the Bible. Jesus Christ said, God's word is truth. So then why are there so many conflicting opinions, all claiming to be based on the Bible, the Scriptures? Well, if you turn to 2 Peter, and again, some very familiar but very basic and important verses that we are so privileged to know these. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. And what a bold statement that is, because that would imply either there is no interpretation or it interprets itself. And that's what we are very much aware of in the Walking in God's Power foundational class. We spend quite a bit of time looking at basic keys to how all Scripture interprets itself. And that's a good thing to do. So, verse 21, we'll keep reading there. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And of course, we know God told them what to write. So again, why are we in this fellowship and other fellowships like this? Why are we so concerned about accurately understanding the Bible? Understanding especially truths about very vital areas of our lives. Well, we go to Genesis chapter 3, another familiar place. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Eve, Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Is that what God said? As you know, the serpent had been around for a long time before this event. And he has many names in the Bible. And in the Scriptures, in a number of places, we can see his history. He was at one time God's top angel. but because of pride. Do you hear that? Because of pride, he wanted to be God. And he rebelled and was cast out. And no wonder the Bible talks about how God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It's really important for us to note that this is the very first thing that God had recorded concerning him. Not his original beauty, not his original position, not his pride, not his rebellion, not his being cast out. The very first thing that God had recorded about him was, yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. God had, as you know, given Adam a very specific command. And when God speaks, it's what? It's his word. You know, we could think about great spiritual truths that we know. Did God really say, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, and you'll be saved? Is it really true that you be saved? Did God really say that every believer could operate all nine manifestations? Did God really say that? So, verse 1 again. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, yeah, we may eat. No, that's not what God said. Freely, God had said freely. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it. Correct. Neither shall you touch it. He didn't say anything about that. Lest you die. No, he didn't say lest you die. Let's just read 2:16. Keep your finger there if you need to. And the Lord God, we're in 2:16. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. That's what God said. And then you read verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. And I think we're blessed to know that in 2:16, the way that Hebrew words work, dying you shall die, is very emphatic. And here the adversary, the serpent, said, dying you shall not die. The complete opposite of what God said. And the scriptures tell us that God cannot lie. God cannot lie. So, if God cannot lie, we can see very clearly that the devil is a liar. A liar. And in fact, Jesus Christ said he's the father of lies. And you know, we can also learn from a verse in the book of Revelation that the devil, the adversary, Satan, whatever you want to call him, is a deceiver and in fact deceives the whole world. And so here in the garden now, we can see the one who is the father of all lies, the one who deceives the whole world, he's now going to instruct them and tell them about God. Verse 5, for God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Eve got deceived and Adam followed right along. The result of accepting the lie was a total disaster. And again, this is the first thing God's word shows us about our adversary. And he hasn't changed for centuries. So in light of that, in light of what we see here in Genesis 3, it would probably be a good idea to be very concerned about the accuracy of the scriptures. As you know, Jesus Christ was tempted directly by the tempter, the deceiver. Let's look at that in Matthew 4. The temptations are covered in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We're going to just look at one little portion of it in Matthew 4. You're certainly welcome to look at all of those. In Reverend Cummins' work on the acceptable year of the Lord, he puts all three of those gospel records together very beautifully. Matthew 4:1, then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. I guess so. Some of us, especially Italians, hard to go 4 hours. 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, if you are really the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. You're probably pretty hungry. I mean, if you're really the Son of God, you could do that, couldn't you? But he answered, Jesus Christ answered and said, look, I'm kind of hungry. I'm distracted. I really am the Son of God, but please don't. What was his response? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Boom, the word of God, scripture. There's a great lesson there, isn't it? In times of temptation. The word, God's word. Jesus Christ had an accurate knowledge of the scriptures. Verse 5, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And saith unto him, if thou be the Son... He keeps pushing that button, doesn't he? If you're really the Son of God, then cast yourself down, for it is written. He's now going to quote scripture at Jesus Christ. It is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Toss yourself over. It is written, angels will take care of you. And again, look at his answer. Man, I mean, he quoted the scripture to Jesus Christ. You think the devil doesn't know what God's word says? Absolutely. And the first thing we learn about him, his subtlety in saying, did God really say that to Eve back in Genesis 3? And Jesus' answer again. It is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Jesus Christ had a very accurate knowledge of God's word. And yeah, he quoted scripture, but a total misapplication. God's word does promise to protect us. And so does that mean we can dress up all in black and go play in the freeway at night and dodge cars? God will take care of me. That would be tempting the Lord thy God. And how many times in the Gospels did Jesus Christ quote scripture? Many times. And then there's other places where he said, have you not read? Is it not written? It is written. In that one place where he said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. So Jesus Christ was very concerned about accurately understanding the scriptures. And we read that God would have us to come unto a knowledge of the truth. It's great to be saved, but God wants us to not be ignorant. Come to a knowledge of the truth. And that's why we're so concerned about accurately understanding the scriptures in the Bible, especially in vital areas of our lives. Go to 2 Corinthians 11. And I know these scriptures are familiar to us. How blessed we are that they are familiar to us. And I'm just kind of trying to lay a foundation for next Sunday when we focus on receiving healing from God to kind of have some of this fresh in our minds, that God's word is truth and it's important to get an accurate knowledge of God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled or deceived Eve through his subtlety. And we read that. So your minds, and what happens in the mind? Thoughts. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Simplicity is integrity and purity. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent deceived Eve through his subtlety, so your minds, your thinking, should be corrupted from the integrity and purity that is in Christ. Verse 4. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, then it says you might well bear with him. Better translated would be, you put up with it all too well. This is a reproof epistle. He's saying, stop it. Don't do that. Don't allow your mind and your thoughts to be corrupted from the purity and integrity, the simplicity of what you already know. Go to Galatians chapter 1. A few weeks ago, we were reading where Romans says, don't be fashioned by this age. How much of stuff going on in the world is instigated, originated, promoted by our enemy? God says, don't get fashioned by this age. And in Galatians 1, I'm going to read from the Working Translation, Reverend Cummins. Very thankful for the work that he's done over the years, like some 60 years. Thankful that he's very knowledgeable of Aramaic, Greek, Hebrew, and lots of other stuff. And that we have the great privilege to see some of that working. And Galatians 1, starting in verse 6, I'm going to be reading from the Working Translation. I'm astonished that you are so quickly turned away from him who called you by the grace of Christ unto a different gospel, which is not an acceptable alternative, but there are some who agitate you and want to alter the gospel pertaining to Christ. However, even if we or a messenger from heaven would proclaim a gospel to you other than the gospel that we proclaim to you, then let him be accursed. As we have said before, and so I repeat it now, if anyone proclaims a gospel to you other than what you have received, then let him be accursed. So am I now persuading people or God? On the other hand, am I seeking to please people? If I were still seeking to please people, then I would not be a servant of Christ. And we got to keep that in mind, you know, in terms of as we share God's word with people. We're not trying to please people. This is what God's word says. We're not trying to water it down, make it easier, and it's okay what you believe. And no, this is what God said. This is what God said. Do I seek to please people? No, I don't want to seek to please people. And as you know, he goes on to tell them that the gospel that he preached, he didn't get it from men. He wasn't taught it, but he got it by revelation from Jesus Christ. And we know what the gospel is. The seven church epistles open with Paul saying the gospel of God pertaining to his son, Jesus Christ, the good news. That's priority for us. It ought to be. We're living in this administration. The gospel, the good news concerning Jesus, that's our priority in terms of understanding the scripture. You don't need to turn there, but Romans, yeah, go ahead. Turn to Romans 16. Why not? Let's read it together. Romans 16. These are all so familiar to us, but how blessed we are that they are familiar. You know, sometimes it's go to a verse, oh yeah, I know what that, yeah, it's good that you know that what that verse is. It's good that we've seen it more than one time. Romans 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. Self-serving. And it says, by good works and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. They're not working for the one true God. And it doesn't mean that people who preach or say things that are contrary to the truth are necessarily possessed. he's going around saying you get saved by works. He must be possessed. No, he might very well be deceived, but doesn't necessarily mean he's possessed. We're going to 1 Peter chapter 5. Receiving healing is such a vital area that we would want to know the truth. And so keeping some of these things in mind when we go to the scriptures to see what God has to say about healing, it's helpful, I think. 1 Peter 5, 8. Be sober. And that's more than just don't get drunk. But have sound thinking. And sometimes emotions can interrupt sound thinking. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, oh my goodness, doesn't that make it personal? We have a personal adversary. Your adversary. Who would that be? The devil. Could it be more plain? Who tempted Eve in the garden? The devil. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. So hide in your room. Never come out. Don't talk to anybody. Run to the hills. Is Christ coming back today? No. What did God say? He told us we have an adversary. Is that true? There's a lot of people say, the devil, there's no such thing as a devil or whatever. What did God say? Your adversary, the devil. And so here's what God said to do about it. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, in the right way of believing. And if we don't know the right way of believing, how can we resist steadfast? And don't feel all sorry for yourself, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. That's pretty plain for us, isn't it? And we're closing in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Another very familiar verse. We started out where God said that he'd like for all people to be saved and come into a knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study. Well, that's going to take some effort. And time. I've got too much on my plate. I don't really have a lot of time to just... I might be able to squeeze in reading a few verses, but... Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of truth. There is an adversary, and he hates God, and he hates all human beings, especially God's people, and he hates God's word. And he's very good at deceiving people. How good of a deceiver is he? Well, he got 1/3 of the angels to join in the rebellion against God Almighty. I'd say he's pretty good at what he does, right? And for those of us that are concerned with the scriptures, the accuracy of the scriptures, we keep reviewing what we already know. We keep it fresh, the truths we know. We keep learning and growing and stay concerned. But we never, ever get arrogant about what we know. We never allow ourselves to become prideful because I know this and I know that. We stay humble and thankful. I heard someone say, never be arrogant about what you think you know, and never assume that statement applies to everyone else except you. I thought that's a good one. As born-again ones, we strive to gain an accurate understanding of the Bible, and most especially the scriptures that pertain to our salvation. The gospel of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, ought to be our priority in gaining an accurate knowledge of the scriptures. You know, when we study in the class, the others crucified with the Lord Jesus, it's not so that we can end up being arrogant. You know, well, I know about this. The point of the lesson was learning the great biblical key of scripture buildup and other keys to how the Bible interprets itself. And I'll tell you something, our salvation is not dependent on how many people we think were crucified with Jesus Christ. Is it? No. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There's our salvation. It's by grace, not of works. There's our salvation. It's great to learn and know things, but our priority is the gospel of God pertaining to his son, Jesus Christ. But you know, on the other hand, in so many very vital areas of our lives, when we know the truth, when we know what God has said, then we can believe what God has said and get the results we need in our lives. Salvation, God's gift of Holy Spirit. What does God say about it? Prayer. What does God say about prayer? Our finances, marriage, so many vital areas, including healing. What did God say about receiving healing? And next week, by God's great grace, what I shared this morning is a brief foundation for next week when we look into God's word and see what God shows us about receiving healing from God. Father, thank you for your wonderful word that we're so privileged to know a little bit of. We're grateful for the knowledge that we have. We're so thankful for the salvation, the redemption that we have been freely given by our Lord Jesus Christ, along with all the rights, privileges, the abilities that are so spelled out to us in the seven church epistles. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you that today we are a day closer to being gathered together with Jesus Christ in the clouds. And until that day, may we continue to reverence you, our Heavenly Father, and stay grateful, humble, and thankful. And I thank you for the privilege of sharing your word this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.